Well, welcome to Cornerstone Church's online podcast. This is Pastor Barry. Hope and pray that you will be ministered to as you listen to today's sermon.
Matthew chapter 2 is where we're going to be. If you've got the app, you can follow along with the sermon notes. We'll have some slides behind me before I start this part of the message. We're headed towards, in our time together this morning, in my sermon and my message, we're headed towards a challenge for you. And I have been praying about this. Our team this morning, we just paused here, before our worship practice, had a moment of worship and prayer, trusting that God is going to meet us here today. Because when I talked earlier about that this is a transformational Sunday, I believe it's going to be a transformational Sunday for some people today. And God is going to do a deep work. This isn't a light moment, and neither is the message a light message. And, you know, you come kind of on 17th of December, and we're singing Christmas carols, and yet I feel like there's something that God wants to do this Christmas. He wants to do it in your life today, and it's transformational, and it's not easy, but it is good. All my life you've been faithful. He is good to us. And so this isn't an awful message. I don't want to set it up like this. I believe it's a good message. But at the end of it, I believe God has a key for you. He has a key. Why I say that is because I remember sharing Christ with a man. And he was just so resistant for so long. And eventually I ended up in his hospice by his bedside and still resistant. But the Lord gave me a key. And as I see, the key doesn't have to be the size of the door. But he gave me a little key that I put in and turned, and the man opened his life to Christ. We prayed together. And I believe it's that kind of thing, that the Lord has a key for us today, key for you today. I'm hoping this Christmas will be transformational. So some people have great memories. They remember all kinds of things. They remember when you said, remember when you did. Some people remember the weather. They will say to me, you know, last Christmas it wasn't like this. It's like, I can't remember last week's weather. Some people remember movies. They remember movie lines and quotes. They remember movies. Other people will watch the same movie for the first time over and over and over again. Some people remember what they ate at a restaurant. Some people... You can't even necessarily determine what's going to stick. Some people remember what they got last Christmas. Some people don't remember there was a last Christmas. But what I hope today is that this Christmas and this moment and this day is going to be memorable for you. I'm hoping it will be memorable for you this year, because I believe this, and I'm not going to keep you in suspense. I'll tell you where we're headed, and we're going to read Matthew chapter 2 together. I'm hoping that you will experience the power to forgive someone. I'm hoping that you will experience the power to forgive someone. Matthew chapter 2, there's a phrase in here that I want to look at this morning. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1 says this, all the way through verse 11. It's this phrase in the account of the wise men. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men came from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. Verse 3 says, when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. When the king's troubled, everybody's troubled. Verse 4. When he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. And they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for it is thus written by the prophet, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Verse 7 says, then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared, and he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, go, search carefully for the young child. When you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also. Verse 9 says, when they heard the king, they departed. Behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. When they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, fell down and worshiped him. When they had opened their treasures, and it's this phrase, and when they had opened their treasures, they presented to him gold, presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. First, they're looking for Jesus, and they find him. I love that. And I believe that as people are looking for Jesus today, they can still find him. And second, they bow down and worship. And this is an amazing picture. We don't know how many wise men there were, just that there was more than one. And they're bowing down before this baby in worship. We talk about worship. There was no song. The word is proskuneo. It means bow down. It means to lay prostrate. They're bowing down before this baby. But in this moment, they do two things. They open their treasures, and out of those treasures, they bring gifts. They open their treasures. And when I think of opening their treasures, I think of a treasure chest. That something, those gifts, when it says open their treasures, I think of a treasure chest. I don't think this was just in a saddlebag on one of the camels or in a Safeway grocery bag. That something, the word treasure, that's where we stumble. It says they opened their treasures and out of them brought the gifts. Treasures, it has to do with a place that special or precious things are collected and contained in, out of this place. That's what it means. Treasures, the place in which good and precious things are collected and laid up. Good and precious things are collected and laid up. And out of this place, that's where they brought these costly gifts. Now, nativity scenes paint and portray the picture of these wise men as wealthy kings. We stumble a little translating that word, and some of Bible translations and English versions stumble over the word. The Greek word is magos. It's translated or transliterated into from Latin to magi. But it means this astronomers or even sorcerers. We would find it where it says the wise men. We would find it later on in the book of Acts where Paul is on one of his missionary journeys. And there is a sorcerer there that he will cause to be blind for a season. It's that same word, sorcerer, that we find in Scripture. It's that same place. If you look at magi, M-A-G-I, all you need to do is add a C, and you get magic. Now, not a magician like, let me pull a rabbit out of my hat. But when we think of Far East, even possibly from Babylon, do you remember Nebuchadnezzar? When he had a dream and he wanted the dream to be interpreted, it says that he called for the wise men. They wouldn't tell him the dream, and then thus they couldn't interpret the dream, but he called for the wise men. And in the book of Daniel, when it says he calls for the wise men, do you know what they're defined as? Magicians, astrologers, and sorcerers. Magicians, astrologers, and sorcerers. That's what that's what, when it talks about wise men in the book of Daniel, what they're talking about. And he was going to wipe them all out. And Daniel, with God's intervention, saves those men. And it just makes me wonder, had that happened, would we have this story in the interim? But what seems clear to me, though, is that there's something of significance and value and worth, cost, of what they opened up and what they drew out to give to baby Jesus. And this morning, I'd like to talk to you about opening the treasure of your heart, where precious things are kept. The treasure of your heart, of opening your heart and offering the gift of forgiveness. It's so valuable and it's so costly, but if you give it, you won't run short. You'll still have enough to give away more and more and more. See, Christmas is a time for giving, but this morning I want to share with you that Christmas can also be a forgiving time. It's a time for giving, but it can be a forgiving time, a time to forgive, a time to open your heart to someone or someones and give the treasured gift of forgiveness that you possess. One of the definitions of the word forgiveness, it has to do with canceling debt. That your debt is canceled. When you are forgiven, your debt is canceled. It means you don't owe anything anymore. Your debt has been forgiven. Doesn't mean that there was no hurt, there was no offense, there was no trespass, there was no sin. Doesn't mean any of that. It's acknowledging, in fact, there was debt that needed to be forgiven. It doesn't mean that what happened was okay. you will be okay. But what happened wasn't okay. Forgiveness has to do with the debt being canceled. You no longer have to repay your debt. It means this: I will not make you pay for this. How many times have you heard people say, or maybe there's been a shadow that has even crossed our own hearts? We say, you're going to pay. You're going to pay for that. How would you like the bank to call you? Say, come on in, we need to talk about your mortgage. And the bank manager says, we're canceling your mortgage. You say, you can't do that. How can I pay back? How can you just can't make that decision. He says, no, you don't understand. I mean, we're canceling. We're forgiving your debts. We're forgiving it. You don't owe anything. You don't have anything more to pay. Or a credit card company calling to say, hey, we're canceling your card. You say, I'm sorry, I'll make the minimum payment. No, you don't understand. We're canceling what you owe. There's no more debt. It's not that you didn't owe. It's that you've been forgiven, that the debt has been written off, been covered, debt-free, forgiven. I read a quote a couple weeks ago, 25% of people, and I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, says 25% of people are still paying off their Christmas debt from last year. So when we're talking about even things for this year, 25%, 1 in 4, are still paying off what they spent last Christmas. Sometimes when I'm listening to the radio, you might hear this too, when they're talking about, we're going to give away money, we're going to give $5,000 or $25,000 or, you know, these huge sum of money, and they'll always ask either to someone who is entered to win or someone who has won something, what are you going to do with the money? Do you know typically what they say, one of the first things? I'm going to pay bills. I'm going to pay bills. Like, how boring. There was a song years ago by the Seven Dwarfs. Snow White. Yeah. Hi-ho, hi-ho, it's off to work we go. And they'd whistle or whatever. And somehow years ago, I remember seeing a bumper sticker. Somebody changed that and said, instead of hi-ho, hi-ho, it's off to work I go, it's I-O. So it's off to work I go. People are in debt. But I'd like to submit to you, instead of getting into debt this Christmas, what about releasing people out of a debt that they owe this Christmas? I don't want to carry any debts from last year over to next year. I'm so glad for the prayer team and what's happening on the crossover service. But I don't want to carry debt from last year into the next year. Do you know what you call carrying debt? Have you ever heard the phrase debt load? This is my debt load. It's because it's a load. It's because there's a weight to it. There's a weight to carrying a debt. And there is a weight to carrying unforgiveness. That's a heavy load. When we withhold forgiveness from people, it not only damages them, it damages us. You may have heard the phrase, or what used to exist, maybe in some places it still does, debtor's prison. A debtor's prison that you're thrown. There's examples in Scripture of people, they're coming to throw me in prison till my debt is paid off. Jesus will tell a story about a debt that can never be paid off. Thrown in debtor's prison. And I think unforgiveness is very much like a prison, but it not only places the person, it places us. The person who hurt us, it places us in a prison. If we are unwilling or unable to forgive. And I want to talk about the distinction of that, unwilling and unable. I'm hoping this Christmas that we will find ways to open our hearts, extend forgiveness to others, even those who have not asked for it, canceling debt, the release of punishment. In a moment, I'm going to provide a moment for us to pray, but I want to tell you what we're going to pray about first. People hurt us. People have hurt you. And even though we walk with the Lord and we love the Lord and we're believers and we walk together, we want His love in our hearts, there are still things that happen to us. We're not immune from this fallen world and hurtful things that people say or do. Some offenses can seem pretty small. Maybe they're small to the person, but they've become big to you. Maybe they're small. Have you ever got a sliver that you can't see? It's just, it's so small, you can't find it. But you can feel it every time you touch it. Every time something touches it. Oh, it's there. It's there, and there's the pain. But it's so small. But it notices. But you notice. There are other hurts that happen that aren't small like slivers, that they need more than tweezers. They need surgery. They need heart surgery. There's a brokenness and a woundedness that happens in our lives. Disappointment, hurt. That we need healing even to consider forgiveness. We need the Lord's touch of healing. I want to pray for you in a moment about that. Here's the steps we're going to pray through. Number one, like the wise men, they first sought Jesus, so we're going to seek Jesus today. We're just going to come before him because we're going to need his help in this. I believe this was his idea for our time together this morning. We need him. Secondly, like the wise men, we're going to bow down before him. Just in our hearts, like as they bowed down, we are going to surrender our lives. Just coming to that place, Lord, I surrender. I come to you and I surrender, recognizing he's Lord. Then third, we're going to open our hearts. Open the treasures of our hearts and be willing to forgive. We just bring where that precious gift of forgiveness is. We're going to open our hearts. And then we're going to pray one of two prayers. And this you'll need to decide which prayer you're going to pray. First prayer is this: Lord, I choose to forgive them. And make that declaration. I choose to forgive them. We're going to believe God is going to meet you in that moment as you utter those words, as you make that decision, as you make that declaration. I choose to forgive them. Or I'm going to invite you to pray, Lord, help me to forgive them. Lord, help me to. You may not be at the place. Maybe the wound is so deep. Maybe the hurt is so, like, there's nothing light about this moment. But would you open your heart and say, Lord, would you help me to forgive them? You just simply may not have the capacity. One of two things: Lord, I choose to forgive them. I'm going to do that now. I'm not going to carry this over. Or, Lord, would you help me forgive them? And he's going to meet you too. You have the treasure of forgiveness to give that will set others free, and it will set you free. I'm going to tell you the key in just a moment that I really think is going to help. What I felt so strongly from the Lord was to not share the scriptures about if you do not forgive, your Heavenly Father will not forgive you. Or forgive those, Lord, we ask you to forgive us as we forgive those who trespass against us or those are in debt to us. I really felt to not guilt you into forgiveness. The Lord does not want you, well, you better forgive because if you don't, That is not this moment. In fact, I think that those verses have to do with people who out of pride and arrogance will say, I will not forgive. It's not I cannot forgive. It's that point of I will not forgive. I'm digging my heels, irrefutable. I'm not doing this. Then there's a different issue of our hearts. But there are hurts that maybe have been so deeply hurtful that it's hard to forgive. Or maybe it's not just something that happened. Maybe it just continued to happen over and over and over again. And you say, Lord, like Peter, how many times do I got to forgive? Because this has gotten really old really quick. And loved ones, I am not talking about the next step to restoring a relationship. That is not what this is about. There are so many relationships that, just as we talked about even praying for Israel and Palestine and Gaza and all that, it's complicated. There are so many things in relationships when there's hurt and woundedness and brokenness, it's complex. There are things that of abuse. There are things of control. There are deep wounds. I am not talking at this moment about the next step of a restored relationship. I just want to start at the place of forgiveness. And not somehow the next step into any kind of abusive or controlling, unhealthy relationship with unsafe people. There are steps to move forward in that, but that is not this. This is the starting point, simply of canceling someone else's debt. I want to share a story in the Bible, and this will lead us to the key. Share a story that's found in the Bible that at first glance can certainly seem manipulative. It can look harsh, but we do not know the relationship that the Apostle Paul had with the man Philemon. We don't know their relationship. We don't know how strong the relationship was. It appears to be quite strong and a close friendship. Whatever took place in their relationship, sometimes strong relationships require strong words. And the Apostle Paul will say some strong words to Philemon in the book or the letter entitled Philemon. Philemon has had a slave, and that's a whole other thing, who has run away from him. His name is Onesimus. And somehow he has bumped into Paul, who is in prison. Whether he got caught by the Romans and was imprisoned, whether he hears about Paul, we don't know that relationship. But we do know that while Paul was in chains, he led Onesimus to Christ. And Paul says to Onesimus, I'd like to have you stay with me because you're helpful in the gospel. You're a good worker. We can do a lot together, but you need to make things right with Philemon. So I'm sending you back. And he sends him back with a letter of recommendation. And he essentially tells Philemon, hey, Onesimus, maybe he even ran away from you for this very purpose, that he might become a brother. He ran away as a slave. He's returning as a brother. But Paul put some words down that are pretty strong to Philemon, essentially saying treat him well. But watch what he does. And it can look manipulative. I don't believe it is. I just think they had a strong relationship that we don't know the depth of it all. This is what we know from Scripture. He says this, Philemon verse 17 to 22. He's writing to him, Paul to Philemon, if then you count me as a partner, receive him, Onesimus, as you would me. And if he has wronged you or owes you anything, put that on my account. I, Paul, am writing with my own hand. I will repay, not to mention to you that you owe me even your own self besides. Yes, brother, let me have joy from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in the Lord. Having confidence in your obedience, I write to you knowing that you'll do even more than I say. But meanwhile, also prepare a guest room for me, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be granted to you. If he owes you anything, put it on my account. And in fact, you owe me everything. Do you remember that? And then he says, and I'll see you soon. As in, I'm coming to check up on this. I know you're going to do it and even more. And get a room ready because through your prayers, hopefully I'll be released and I'll come see you. It sounds manipulative. I don't believe it is. But the point of it is Paul is saying, hey, if he owes you anything, put it on my account. Let's just say I took that and I'm good for it. And so we're going to pray in just a moment right now. But here's the key. What I'm asking you to do is to open your heart and give the gift of forgiveness. It will cost you. It's costly. But here's what I think might help. Just like Paul was saying, put it on my account. Would you accept payment for their sin from Jesus, from him? Would you accept what he did as payment in full for what they owe you? For the hurts, for the sin, for the offense. Would you accept that he paid not only for your sin, but he paid for that sin. He paid for that trespass. He paid for that offense. He paid for that hurt. He paid. Could you put it on his account and say, okay, Lord, it's paid in full. I will forgive because you paid the price, not only for my sin, but for that sin, and I will accept payment. You might say, yeah, but they need to pay. And Jesus would say, but I did pay. You might say, but they don't know how badly they hurt me. And he would say, but I know. And that's enough. But they haven't repented. They haven't made things right. He would say, yes, and I forgave them, for they know not what they did. Yeah, but they need to die. Yeah, but I did. that you might have life and that they might have life. It's not that there was no debt. It's not that you weren't hurt or aren't hurt, disappointed, wounded, broken, shattered. But would you accept payment not from them, but from him? And let what he did cancel the debt that they owe you. The debt's been paid by Jesus. Would you accept payment from Jesus on their behalf? Let's pray. Jesus, this morning, like the wise men, we come to you. Instead, we see that they were seeking you and they found you. God, we seek you. Jesus, we seek you right now, here in this moment. Oh, come, Lord Jesus, here. We seek you and your presence and your touch, your voice. We seek you. And like the wise men, we bow our hearts before you, recognizing that you are Lord, and we surrender our lives to you. God, and I just want to pause in this moment and I want to pray for healing for those who have been wounded, especially by those who have been close to them. God, I pray you would minister your touch. Those where there is brokenness and just even talking about this just uncovers the wound that has just not been healed. Lord, I pray for your touch. God, and even as we would release people, as we would release forgiveness, there would be healing and wholeness that would touch our hearts and lives. And like the wise men who opened their treasure, God, we want to be willing to open our hearts to give the gift of forgiveness. Church, would you just take a moment? I don't know if you need to say the words, Lord, I open my heart. Before we pray one of those two prayers, would you just open your heart? And as you do, allow the Lord to just point out, this is the person you need to forgive. Don't shrug it off. Don't say, oh no, it couldn't be them, or I've already forgiven them. Or if the Holy Spirit just reveals to your heart, pay attention. Pay attention to who he brings to your mind. Maybe that person has already been in your heart and mind as I began to talk. And it's like, no, I can't come to this place. I can't come to this place. The Lord is meeting us here, right here in this moment where you can. So as we open our hearts, would you pray one of these two things? Lord, I choose to forgive them. Or would you take the step and say, Lord, help me to forgive them? It's by his grace and by his love shed abroad in our hearts. Whichever it is for you, the Lord doesn't look down on you because you take the lower road. It's where you're at. It just needs to be real. Lord, I choose to forgive them. Lord, please help me to forgive them. I'll just give you a moment and then I'll lead us through these last few moments together. So as we've prayed one of those prayers, I want to seal this moment by just simply saying that's enough. It's enough. There's not another step that you need to take right now. We're just going to let that sit. Choose to forgive them. Lord, help me to forgive them. That's all we're going to do. Just going to let that settle. It's like cement that needs to set. You're going to be resolved. There's a hardness that needs to happen to that cement. Not hardness of heart, but hardness of resolve and determination. I prayed that prayer and I'm going to stick to it. The reason why I say it's that cement that needs to harden is because your feelings and your mind will attack that decision. In the moments and in the days that lie ahead, your feelings and your thoughts will attack that decision. You need to let that resolve settle. I choose to forgive them. I chose to forgive them. I forgave them. Lord, help me to forgive them. We're walking down that path, but this was the step. We need to just let it be enough. We prayed that prayer and we're going to let it settle and harden that resolve. Jesus paid the debt for our sin, not only for those who have sinned against us, but for us. We've talked about other people's sin, but that doesn't mean we've dealt with our own sin. Well, Jesus paid for our sin by dying on the cross, and he rose triumphant over death, hell, and the grave. He offers us forgiveness, the forgiveness of sin. Our sin, we can be made right. We can be cleansed. We do that by welcoming him in prayer, declaring that we believe and we accept his forgiveness. And if there's any point where you need to get right with God, or dealt with other people who have offended us, but we have offended a holy God, so we come to say, I'm sorry, please forgive me. Maybe you've prayed this prayer before in rededication. Maybe you prayed it last week as we gathered. Maybe you've never prayed it, but whether you pray this for the first time or the first time in a long time, I'd like to invite you to pray these words with me. Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much that you would pay the penalty for my sin by dying on the cross in my place. I believe you rose to life again and now offer me new life with you. I ask you to forgive me of my sin and to cleanse me from the inside out. I invite you into every area of my life as my Lord and Savior. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to live for you all the days of my life. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for today's edition of Cornerstone Church's online podcast. May God continue to richly bless you and lead you as we follow Jesus together.